Grace is not what you think it is. Most people think of grace as when things go right. Grace is accepting it when things don't go right. When you are accepting of the truth of the moment in alignment with what is. We are all surrounded by grace. We all live in a state of grace. You couldn't survive otherwise. But it just doesn't play by your rules. There's a lot of people on this planet. There are a lot of people vying for a good life. Grace is being alive. Grace is waking up in the morning. Grace is driving to a class like this in rainstorms. It's not for you to understand the how or the why. The struggle that most people have is what Rudy used to call resistance. Resistance is the thing that causes us suffering. The ego mind wants it to be one way, and the universe provides it another way. How do you find grace? How do you find the beauty of your own life? How do you find that this moment is perfect as it is? You're going to have a million reasons why not to. It doesn't feel good. You didn't get what you were supposed to get. So-and-so didn't remember your birthday. Whatever it is that throws you into a state of being somehow unattended by the universe. Last night I went to bed knowing I had to be up today to teach an introductory class, to teach this class, to give this talk, then to have lunch, and then teach another class, and then give another talk, and all I wanted was a good night's sleep. And it absolutely did not happen. I don't think I slept one second last night. I have no idea why. And I kept lying there going, but. And it felt like I was being betrayed on some level by the universe, or tested maybe. There's so many ways to look at it. And I think you've all had experiences where you lie there and you just don't go into the place of dream space or deeper. And I just laid there, and this voice came to me, which often has been a saving grace for me. And it says, accept this. This is God at work. Nothing in me understands what that means. What is good about no sleep? What is good about trying to teach a class with no energy? There were a million reasons in my mind to think something was working against me. But I did this thing, which I've been doing over the course of a lifetime, which is I take a breath. And I say yes. I don't fight it. I don't resist it. I don't understand it. I accept. Some people call it radical acceptance. And you know when you do that, that you are in a state of grace. As I was just telling you all this, I had a terrible cramp in my calf, which is why I changed position. It really hurt. It seemed totally inappropriate, totally opposite of everything I was talking about. And yet, I knew I could surrender, I could open, and just go. You don't arrive at that by just saying to yourself, I am in a state of grace. You arrive at it by years and years and years of practice. Practice what Rudy called surrender, letting go, asking for help to surrender, asking for help to let go. Because most circumstances that occur in our lives don't meet our needs or our agenda as we see it. And unless you have developed what Rudy called the muscle of letting go, as opposed to the muscle of holding on, which we're all pretty good at, the muscle of letting go is the thing that ultimately teaches you about liberation, freedom, from your own expectations, your own demands, your own drives, your own ambitions. You start to hand it over to something greater. And this sense of grace, this sense of alignment and connection to something higher or bigger or more aware of the world around you and the universe and the cosmos than your mind normally would be, starts to operate, and you realize you can trust it. You can trust the universe. You can trust the journey. The journey is not out to get you. It's out to free you, to love you, to hand you over to something greater. I can't tell you why this journey exists. I have no idea why we're born, why we come into this world, why this world wants us, why this world demands so much of us, why it can be so painful, so difficult, so constricting. But I will tell you, without understanding all of that, if you can bow down to it, and you can accept it as it arises, as it emerges, you will feel this thing coming after you, and it will go, good job, good job. It will comfort you, it will take you in, it will allow you to go on. The famous play by Beckett, the famous line, I can't go on, I'll go on. You arrive at that space, I'll go on. And you don't just arrive at that space as a kind of, oh, well, I'll just do it. You actually arrive at a space where you understand the beauty of the journey. Blanche and I went to see an old Rodgers and Hammerstein play the other night called Carousel, which I've always found a little smarmy. And a little too, if you walk through a cloud, keep your head up high, you know, that whole wonderful song at the end that is a little bit on the nose. But this time, the director saw deeper into the play. He just saw the play as an act of grace. He saw people suffering, people who were not born to high station, people for whom life was not easy, people who fell in love with each other and hated each other at the same time or treated each other badly. And he found, Rodgers and Hammerstein found, this core story that the director extracted a character, I believe it may have been in the script, but I actually couldn't tell, of a man watching over the main character, who was a kind of a bad guy. He was a guy who was in over his head in this world. He had been badly trained, badly raised, and he treated his wife badly, and at one point, trying to make money for his family, he decides to rob somebody and ends up getting killed, actually killing himself. And throughout the entire play, there is an older man wandering around beside him. Not all the time, but enough. At every crucial decision, there is somebody there just watching him as he makes these decisions. And it's like conscience, in a way. It's like a higher awareness that presents itself to try and emphasize a choice that can be made, and this man doesn't make it. He doesn't make the right choice. And his guide, if you will, this higher power, watches over him and goes, and then he goes to the pearly gates, or they're not quite the pearly gates, they're the back door gates, as they put it in the play. And he's told he has another chance to go back and make it right. One of the things that really is important that they also say to him is when he arrives there, you don't arrive at that higher consciousness as a different person. You arrive there as you, as who you are, with all of your doubts and fears. If you haven't moved beyond that, you bring all of that into the next life. And they make that very clear. And it's really, a profound idea, because so many people think, oh, you let go of this world and you'll be fine. The reality is you let go of this world and you'll be exactly what you are the moment you let go. You'll be carrying with you all the baggage, all the drama, all the struggle, all of the anger, all of the hostilities. It just travels with you. And this guy is given one more chance to try to affect the life of a daughter that he left behind, and manages to have his moment. He actually kind of blows it and then realizes that he's blown it because he can't be other than he is. And there's a moment of profound acceptance of all of that, at which point his daughter and his wife all sense his presence, and he has become a kind of beneficiary from another dimension, helping a choice happen in this world. It is a moment of exquisite grace on the stage. And Blanche and I were both sitting there going, because it was like so deeply moving and touching and so affirming of something I know deeply. One of the most profound things I know in my life spiritually is we are watched over. We are cared for. We have forces and powers that love us, but also stand quietly by and watch us make our choices. This whole idea of higher power, of uplifting energy, is really about a journey into something greater that we all get to go on. That entire journey upward into The embrace of the vast what is made possible by everything you've let go of, and it is obstructed by everything you are holding on to. Every burden, every disgrace, every momentary decision that was not in the best interests of you or others, all of that stuff is actually weighing down on your spirit. And as it tries to ascend, it pulls back. And that pulling back is the drama of your life. And it is the drama that is announcing itself all the time, and you are either working it through or you are succumbing to the drama. Working it through is basically everything Rudy taught us, which is ask for help to surrender. Ask for help to let go. When you see yourself in these difficult moments, do everything you can to correct it. Say, I'm sorry to somebody. Speak truly. Say, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know what to say to you. Whatever you have to do to let this incredible honesty come through. And as you do that, you will feel this alignment and this grace. And every time you don't do it, you will feel this disgrace, that you've done the wrong thing. You've behaved badly. Your entire life is an opportunity to get it right. Over and over and over, you can find your way to do the right thing. And there are forces waiting to help you. And all you have to do is invoke them. All you have to do is say, please help me. And they're right there, standing right beside you, willing to whisper in your ear, willing to turn your head a little bit, willing to give you a slight touch of affirmation, and you can do the thing you need to do. This is the journey that we're on. What scares me is so many people on a spiritual path think that the path is about something down the road, something you get to later, something you arrive at. And the truth is, to the best as I know the truth, your spiritual journey is how you respond to this moment, to this very instant of your life, and the next instant, and the next profound moment of now that keeps coming. That's your spiritual journey. You don't arrive somewhere other than where you have always been. The always been is your work. You are here in this configuration. What do you do about it? Tell someone you love them. Open a door. As Rudy said, make your bed. He said, your spiritual life starts with making your bed in the morning. And what I see in so many people is they have their eyes set on the down the road future of your spiritual life, this great magical thing that will take place, and nobody's taking care of the momentary, day by day, instant by instant reality that is defining your journey. Many of us have been on this path for a long time. That journey that we are on is already the manifestation of our spiritual truth. If you are going through life causing other people to be unhappy, if you can't meet somebody else's need or find somebody else's reality to be equal to your own, or even more important, if you can't learn to put yourself aside so you can care for somebody else equally or more, if you haven't learned that, you have gotten nowhere on the spiritual path. If you sit in meditation two or three times a year when I come here, for example, if this is your meditation, you know, it's like Christmas, Easter, or the High Holy Days, You know, you're having your 2 or 3 days of spirituality a year. That will not cut it. That doesn't do it. It's not about presenting an illusion or an image or an idea of what it means to live a graceful life. You can't live a graceful life 3 days a year. It's every day. That's really what we're being called upon. And that's really the measure of your existence. And that existence, when you live it well, and the moment comes to depart, there will be nothing to let go of, because you'll have already done it. You will be walking around not grasping for identity, not grasping for honors and people thinking how great you are. You won't be reaching for anything. You will just be, ah. And you can achieve the ah every day. But again, it doesn't necessarily come dressed in ribbons and bows. Sometimes you have a big assignment the next day and you can't sleep. Sometimes there's horrible traffic, more and more, and you can't get where you want to get to and the time you want to get there. Sometimes, my son called last night, he wants to buy a house and he wants us to co-sign the loan and put up all this money. I'm going, I would love to help him, and we may do it, but it's like, my accountant said, do not do it. You know, the larger voices basically speak to me and go, this is very risky. And yet, something in me knows it's not about me. It's not about Blanche. There are times in life where you really just surrender you and your security and your well-being, and you provide. You help people. That's what you do. The benefit of that may be costly. On the other hand, there is something extraordinary about being available to others, about being a kind person, a gracious, generous person. And only you know in yourself, are you that? Are you that? Here's the interesting thing. That being that stands next to you, like in Carousel, watching, it knows whether you're a nice person, whether you've done kind acts or not, whether you are living the talk. It's so simple. It's about your everyday choices. It's about accepting the struggle. It's about handing yourself over to something larger and going, thy will be done, thy will. It's providing you with an opportunity continually to touch the thy will. What is that which is directing you to do something transcendent of your own personal comfort zone? What is it? You know, I don't have the answer for it exactly, except I know I have been in its presence, and its presence has graced my life. It graces my life every day, and it graces your life every day. And if you don't know it, there's a sadness to that. There's a sadness to coming to the end of your life and realizing you did not know that this guiding angel, if you will, was at your side the whole time, whispering, nudging, pointing. Because when your ego mind is in charge, when it's driving the show, when all it wants is to have another distraction, you know, watch another TV show, have another beer, have a fling here, do a thing there. When it's playing that game all the time in its own noisy space, it is deeply unaware of the grace behind it. You can have another beer. You can have everything. But if you do it from this place of acknowledgement, gratitude, openness, simplicity, you become aware that you have grace in your life. And that's the thing I would want for everybody. Why would I want anything else than to have people walk around and realize that the life they've been dreaming of is the one they're living? This is it. This is it. It's not something else. If you're trying to build to make it something else, let me tell you, what you can achieve is not a different life, but simply one you say yes to. That's what you get. The spiritual journey is to yes. It's to opening. It's to taking a breath and letting go of your constant obsession with your stuff. Let it go. Let it go. It's another Broadway show. Frozen. But that's a big message. Let it go. And we're all here learning how to do that. And I can tell you something interesting, because Rudy said to me at the beginning, this is a life's work and you have to do it every day. And I said yes. I don't know why I said yes. I don't know who the person was who said at 24 years old, yeah, okay, I'll sit every day for the rest of my life. I did, I have. You know, but here's the important part. You get old. Those of you who are lucky get old. And everything I'm teaching and talking about really, really impacts when you hit your 70s, and maybe your 80s, if you're lucky, or 90s, because they're taking everything away. Your mind, your comfort, your body, probably your home. One thing after another is all being dispersed. All of your past is past. You know, I had a really, really good career. You know, I had a really good life. It is completely past tense to me. Completely. I don't walk around with any kind of pointers saying, hey, I was this or I was that. I am so not interested. And the falling away of it has been a great gift. But I know people whose whole life is to sustain and point at what was. I was this once, and I was that, and I, as though that makes them something. I'm telling you, the journey into old age is really basically a spiritual journey, because it frees you if you'll let it go. If you let stuff fall away, if you surrender, if you ask inside for help to surrender, by the time you're in your 70s and 80s, you are really starting to let go. It takes a long time. I'll give you a little piece of information that we'll talk about later today. But John Mann, who's owned Big Indian for all the years since Rudy died and has been loath to ever let it go, gave it away this week. Big Indian is no longer Rudy's, no longer John's. He's given it to the Lama, Lama Rengbar, who has the hotel part of the property on the other side. This has all now become completely his. This is no longer a Rudy ashram. It took John, who's turning 90 next month, a long time to let go of something as powerful and as important and as central to his identity and to who and what we are as this building, as this environment. And it is really, really part of this process. As he leaves this world, he will have let go of the most fundamental attachment that he had. It took a long time to do it. It came as a surprise, but I will tell you, that is like the final grace note of his life. Having had this place, having sustained it, having presented it to all of us as a place to gather and share the kinds of things we're talking about right now, this is what John did. He provided all of this for us. And now as he's leaving, even this has to go. And I will tell you in spiritual terms, even this, whatever that may be for you, has to go, including your spiritual life. Gone. Everything gone. And what you will find, if you have lived it well, you won't miss it. It will lift off and lift off and lift off, and you will be as free as the baby that got born. You will be this free entity, swimming in a sea of grace and being filled with the delight of simple being, which is at the core of the spiritual journey. And it's not something you have to arrive at the end. It's a process that you do day by day, so that every day is touched by this freedom, this beauty, this joy, this simplicity, and this grace that is our birthright. So, this is the first of a group of talks today. I will say, as I say every time, I really thank you guys for making the journey here. As I say, whenever I come to Big Indian, this is not easy. Big Indian has never been easy. John was smart to let it go. What will happen at the end of this month or next year, or who knows? Lama Rangbar wants to maintain this as a spiritual center for everyone, And that will be a great gift. But all I can tell you is the letting go process is really hard, and you don't even know how much you're holding on until you get to the end and you start to see the fundamental things that you just don't want to let go of. That's when you need the muscle. That's when you need the training. That's when you need the capacity to let go. And that's when the grace starts to truly reconcile itself and reveal itself to you. In the end, nothing is left. So again, thank you for coming. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Okay. We'll meet again at 3. I would say go out and enjoy the outside, but it's pouring. Or if it's not, you can walk around on the wet road. And we'll meet at 3. Lama Rangbar, I think, wants to come here and talk for a few minutes before we start the 3 o'clock talk. And we'll give him an opportunity to kind of share what's going on. And then we'll have class and dinner at 5:30. Thank you, guys.